I'm serious. Get it out. Get your devotional book out. Get your Bible handy. Get your devotional book out. Turn to the sermon notes for today. I've got five names that I want you to write down, and then I'll tell you the passage of Scripture that we are going to, and I'll explain why those names are important. So I want everybody to get your devotional book out. I want you to get your pen handy. Borrow one from your neighbor. I don't advise you looking off of your neighbor because you're going to write a couple things down that you may not want your neighbor to see. I'm not going to inspect them. I'm not telling you you have to hand them to your youth pastor to inspect them. But what I'm about to ask you to do is probably already in your mind anyway. I'm just asking you to put it on paper. Now I got you curious, huh? Are you ready? First name, I think you handle this one, yours. All right, so just write your name down real quick. All right, second name, again, you don't have to write all the description, you just write the name. I want you to think of one adult that you would say you either get along with, you like them, or you admire them, and I want you to write their name down. You have to think of that for a second. You're like, wait a minute, I don't like any adults. That's okay. That's okay. But see if you can think of at least one and write that down real quick. All right, we got that. Still see some people praying over who to write down. All right, third name. I want you to name an adult that you don't like. You have trouble with, you don't like them, or just in teen terms, you would never say this to anybody except your friends, but they just flat out annoy you. I'm dead serious, and I want you to write their name down, and I want you to be honest with yourself. I'm dead serious. But write it down. If you want to cross that out, name out at the end of the service, that's fine, but I want you to leave it there for the whole service. Now I want you to name one teen that you like, you get along with, or you admire. So a teen that you would call, you know, maybe some of you, it's your BFF. But there's somebody that you really like or you really admire. Best way to know that is if you like hanging around with them or you like imitating them. That's the person to write down. So I want you to write down their name. All right. You guys are really curious now, aren't you? Last name, I want you to name one teen that you can't stand. One. And probably for all the reasons that you like the one teenager, these are all pretty much the same reasons you don't like this teenager. You guys didn't have to think about that one very long. That one was down pretty quick. All right, now go in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. This year is classic teen sermons week. He preached on Daniel, and I'm going to look at David. 1 Samuel chapter number 17. We're going to go all the way down. I'm going to assume you kind of know the story, and we're going to go all the way down to verse number 50. First Samuel, chapter number 17, verse number 50. As you're turning there, I want you to listen. I'm going to read a verse out of 2 Chronicles 16 and verse number 9. By the way, keep your pens handy. I'm going to give you 7 points. I'm going to give you just 7 quick things that I want you to put down underneath those names, not together, just at their points of the sermon. And you're going to come back to those names a little bit. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, the Bible says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." The Lord is looking, is going through, running to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward them. God is looking to prove how strong and powerful he is to someone. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse number 50, and we find that he found someone. It says, "So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Shearim, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem. But he put his armor in his tent. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, 'Abner, whose son is this youth?' And Abner said, 'As thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell.'" I'm not going to tell you. He's like, "I don't know." And the king said, "Inquire thou whose son the stripling is." And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, "Whose son art thou, thou young man?" And David answered, "I am the son of thy servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite." For the next few minutes, I want to talk to you about this topic, the real warrior. The real warrior. Let's have a word of prayer. And I would ask, as we do, hopefully you came tonight saying, "Lord, would you speak to me?" But I would ask, as we pray, as I always ask my church, I want you to pray, say, "God, show me something tonight." And I would ask you to say something a little bit more specific. "God, show me myself tonight." You may think you know who you are, but the Bible tells us that His Word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Bible also says that our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Most of the time, we don't really know ourselves. We need the Bible to tell us who we are. So I would ask you tonight to pray specifically, "God, use this message to show me who I really am." Let's pray. Our Father, Lord, I am burdened and excited when I look out at these teenagers. So much opportunity. So many great blessings are ahead and possible for them. Yet I've been doing it long enough, Lord, to see that some of these are going to miss out on those blessings. But they don't have to. So, Lord, I pray now that through this week you would open their hearts to themselves. And I pray that, God, they would see the things inside that need changed. And, God, I pray there would be real changes this week. Real decisions that may be small, but it just totally turns them back on the right path they need. God, I don't want to say anything more or less than I need to say tonight. I need to be used by you, and I need you to speak through me. And Lord, may all of our hearts be the prayer of the song we just heard sung. May we be willing to surrender all tonight. Pray you have your way now in this message, and we ask these things in your name. Amen. The real warrior, as we look at this passage, I believe we can find in this chapter and some of the chapters preceding, but definitely present at the battle, there were many warriors. But I would contend there was only one real one, which is kind of sad when you consider that there were a lot of people there. But there was only one real warrior. And I would say tonight that also in this passage we will find, though, there were a few what I call fake warriors. Now you've put down some names. And as we go through the message, you'll notice your name's at the top. But I want you to think about the other names as well as yours. And here's what I would suggest. I would suggest that the adult and the teen that you put down, that you admire, I would suggest that that is going to tell you a little bit about your value system and your perspective. I would suggest that whatever warrior, fake or real, that they fall under, that explains something to you about yourself. Because some of you in here tonight, you either are or you admire or you look up to a bunch of fake warriors, and they're not worth your admiration. And I would also suggest then the opposite is probably the real warrior. Now, you may have a variety of reasons in which you put down the person that you didn't like and all of these different things. And some of you probably, very likely, almost certainly, didn't bother to put down somebody you didn't like because you were afraid somebody was going to see what you wrote down. And so you totally ignored me. But that's okay. They came to your mind anyway. So I want you to ask yourself, because if that is who you admire, the fake warrior, I would suggest that you are heading down the path that you yourself either are or are going to be a fake warrior also. Funny thing is, I was sitting here thinking about this and in the setting of empowered youth, and I'm looking out. I've been to a lot of these. I haven't been to as many as Mr. Ramos, Mr. Edwards, or Pastor Dameron, or even I think Pastor Potter. But I think there have been, in the time that there have been empowered youth, I've maybe missed 4 or 5. What's really depressing is then when I started figuring up that number of years, I realized that that means I have been to more empowered youth than all of you teenagers have been alive. And so that was very depressing for me for a moment. But as I look out and I think about youth groups that I brought here, every one of my categories of fake warriors, I've got one that fits. Praise God. I've also got some of the real ones. And teenagers, what I want you to learn to do tonight, I'm hoping that I can just at least spark an interest or a thought in you, is get your perspective cleaned up and focused on the right people. Because there's a fight out there. And we need people. And I love trying to help folks. I'm pastoring again now. And both times that I've pastored, I pastor adults that either got saved later in life or they came back to God later in life. And I love trying to help them, and I have compassion for them. And it is my desire to do all I can for them. But sadly, and I'm not being critical of anyone in my church now or previous churches, but I am just saying there are folks that when they are getting reached and when they're getting saved and when they're coming back, if they're getting saved too late or they're coming back to God too late and there's too much baggage behind them for them to do some things to fill some holes that we need in the kingdom of God tonight. There are some of them that have already disqualified themselves from being a pastor. And so God's pool of people to draw from, I'm sorry, it's shrinking. And right here, there's a bunch of you who haven't messed up your lives. I'm not saying he's calling you to preach, but we need some people. There are countries, there are people groups that do not have a missionary or the Bible in their language, and they don't need somebody who can reach the top level of a video game. They need somebody who will actually put their mind to use doing something, learn a language, and give them the Bible. We've got a need out there tonight. We need some young ladies who come alongside. I got news for you. There are people that I cannot help in my church, but my wife can, because they're not going to talk to me. They are ladies and they want to talk to another lady. And I need some warriors. God needs some warriors that are ladies that'll step up and be there in the church and help out some other young ladies. We got a need tonight. There's a war and we need some fighters. And whether you're called into full-time Christian service or not, you can go somewhere in a church, do it in your own church, grow up, get married to a godly person, and raise your kids there, and get in the fight, and help your pastor, and help that grow, and expand it, and there be more people reach. You reach some other teenagers, and they grow up, and they serve God, and we multiply ourselves. 360 teenagers around that, 10 of you, each one of you reach 10 people. 3,600. They each reach 10 people. They each reach 10 people. They each reach 10 people. I don't remember. I filled it up. But go four levels and we're well over several million people could be reached. Amen. Just by you reaching 10 and training them to reach another 10. And I'm just talking about in your lifetime. I'm not asking a huge job. You can reach 10 people in your lifetime, can't you? There's a war. And we need some warriors. There was a Goliath. He was making fun of God. He was making fun of God's people. I think that's the part that seems to be missed sometimes in this message. The world knows David and Goliath. The world admires David getting out there and fighting Goliath, but they seem to miss what made David mad was because Goliath opposed God. But he's the real warrior, and I got to deal with the fake ones first. So let's start in 1 Samuel. You're there in chapter 17. Go down to verse 28. Go back to verse number 28. And we find our first warrior, if you want to write this down. The first fake warrior, I would say, is this. I'm going to call him the showy warrior. The showy warrior. His name is Eliab. In 1 Samuel 17, 28... the Bible says, and Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake, speaking of David, he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. David was kinder than me. I can be a bit of a smart aleck. I know that's a shock. But on occasion, I can be. I think I would have looked at Eliab and said, what battle? Did I miss something? Because he's out there and you're back here. I came down to see the battle. Not seeing much, big brother. Come on. Eliab was the showy warrior. It's not the first time we meet him. We meet him over in 1 Samuel 16, 7. When he comes and Samuel's coming along and he's looking for a king, and the first man before him of Jesse's sons is Eliab, and he said, surely this is the Lord's anointed. And God said this. Nope. It's in the Hebrew somewhere. The Lord doesn't look on the outward appearance. Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. I have not chosen him. Eliab looked good on the outside. I look at a whole bunch of warriors in here tonight, and honestly, right now, y'all look pretty good. I don't even know probably half of you by name. And so to me, you look like warriors. You look like you're great. You look like you've got it all together. You look really good. And sometimes you fool your pastors and youth pastors and the staff and teachers who work with you. Could I pause a moment and say something to you teenagers? Just because you know somebody who the staff seems to like, your parents seem to like, or the pastor seems to like, and because when you're in the locker room or you're together on some trip and you're all kind of there together and you know what they talk like and you know what they talk about and you're like, well, you know what? They are horrible people, but everybody seems to think they're great. That doesn't mean they're great. It just means, now you listen, teenagers, are you listening? This, if you're going to like any part of the sermon, you're going to like this. So you need to listen right now. It just means that sometimes we're wrong. Because as pastors and youth pastors, we've got a weakness. We love you so much. We tend to want to believe the best. Now, you don't believe that. I know. You're like, you haven't met my pastor, your pastor, my dad. No way. I'm sorry. They always think the worst of me. They probably suspect the worst of you because that's what you've given them reason to suspect. But deep down, they always hope that you're going to do what's right. And they just believe that it's going to click. And they love you and they care about you. And so sometimes, listen, some of you teenagers, you don't want to do what's right because you see some fake that's got everybody fooled. He's going to get what's coming to him. So don't join him. That's stupid. She's going to get what's coming to her. So don't join her. That's stupid. Can I be blunt tonight? It's stupid. Just because they're a showy warrior doesn't mean that they're good. You see, Eliab also was really good at talking down other people. Along comes David. I almost see some innocence in David along with this fire. It's kind of like, hey, who's going to get him? I mean, it's almost like he's just dying to get out there. He's like, come on, come on. Who's going after him? There's got to be somebody. Man, I can't wait to see this fight. This is going to be good. Man, I wish I was old enough to do this. It's kind of like some of the fifth and sixth graders that really wanted to come on this trip and be here. And they're just like, man, I can't wait to get to Empowered Youth. Man, I'm going to go. I'm going to surrender to God. I'm going to win 500 people after the first meeting. It's going to be great. And they're all excited. You're like, you know, just get out of here. And you're like, man, I'm so glad we left them behind. Oh, wait, they were in seventh grade. They made it. Oh, no. But David just excited, man. He's ready to go. He's like, yeah, woo! All right, who's going? And Eliab's like, I know why you're here. I know the naughtiness of thine heart. Man, that phrase has always blown me away. Where did he get that? There is absolutely nothing that David has said that was naughty except we should stop the bad guy. So who's the guy in your youth group that always tries to shut down the spiritual conversation? Huh? Who's the girl in your youth group that is always trying to push the edge? Oh, they look good. But behind closed doors, when the adults aren't around, that's when you guys reveal who you are. And sadly, here's what happens. After a while, we sometimes get a band of showy warriors. You guys get together. Sorry, I was looking for some of my previous teens and I had to get to the back. But sometimes we're looking for the showy warrior. We want to get together. Let's not get the youth pastor too riled up. Let's not get the pastor on us. Those other guys that get in trouble, they're just stupid. We play it smart. We look good. But behind the scenes, you all know who you are. I brought some showy warriors to Empowered Youth. Idaho, Missouri, and Indiana. And they've won preaching competitions. They've gotten scholarships. And I wouldn't even tell you from the pulpit what some of them have done. Because it's that wicked. And you say, you're just bad-mouthing them. No. No, they had a chance to be a real one, but they were content to just be all show. Is that you tonight? There's a second warrior here. I call him the short time warrior. King Saul. get down on King Saul. I've preached bad about King Saul. There's a lot bad about King Saul, but King Saul started out good. When Israel needed a leader, King Saul was the one that God chose. King Saul was the one who won some early battles. King Saul was the one that when Samuel got up there and he said, "All right, where's Saul?" Where's Saul? He's hiding among the stuff. See, Saul was a warrior. Saul was somebody God was ready to use. And starting out, Saul was humble. And Saul wasn't exalting himself. And Saul didn't think that he was worthy to be king. And he wasn't looking to be king. He started out doing the same thing David did. He was working for dad, and he went out searching for his dad's lost, and I didn't look at the story, his donkeys, right? He goes out looking for them, and he's trying to help his dad. He was responsible. I'm going to look at David here in a second. He was going good. He led the people into battle. He conquered. He was humble. He was doing really good. And man, he was on fire. And everybody was excited about Saul. And Israel was entering a new day, and they were thrilled. And I know all the stuff about it wasn't good about him being king, but when God at least let him have a king, he said, "If you'll let this king and if he'll do good, I'll still bless you." And Saul was doing right, and he was doing good. But he got distracted. And I see teens. And we rag on the seventh graders, but man, sometimes, this is going to sound really crazy, Mr. Ramos, Mr. Edwards, I may never admit this again. But sometimes when the seventh graders walked into our teen Sunday school, sometimes they were a breath of fresh air. Because our older kids had gotten to become duds. And finally, I had a teenager come in who was so innocent and stupid that he wasn't too cool to just get up and do something. And all of a sudden, I had some seventh graders that come in, and I'd ask the questions. It was always a joke in teen Sunday school because the boys were always losing. But we had about a year streak there, man. The boys were winning, and the girls got killed. And sorry, girls, but I just love that. It's a wonderful thing. But anyway, and they were going good. And in that time, I remember I had a couple seventh graders that came in, and they just kept staying up and answering questions. It was really good. But did you ever hear the story about all the monkeys and the thing of bananas? There's a group of monkeys, and they did a test. They had this thing of bananas in there. And these monkeys would go up there, and every time they started to climb up for those monkeys, they would shoot them down with a bunch of water. And they did that so often, and after a while, those monkeys just stopped trying. And then they'd introduce a new monkey in there, and he'd go up there after those bananas, and everybody else would pull him down. After a while, they replaced them all, and every monkey in there was a new monkey, but every time a new one came in, they all pulled them down, and nobody knew why. It's the best description of the average youth group I think I've ever heard. That's not always true. And it certainly doesn't have to be true. But sometimes that's what I watch happen. Again, Indiana kids, you Fairhaven kids, I'm not just picking on you. Remember, I got three youth groups I can go back to and talk about. And you're not from Indiana. It's all over the place. And somebody starts trying to get good, and they pull them back, and they start out, and they're doing really good, but Saul got distracted. Along the way, a few things happened to Saul. He got distracted through jealousy. In 1 Samuel 18, they sang about Saul killing his thousands and David his 10,000s. And from then on, Saul sought to kill David. Why? Because somebody else was more important than him and he couldn't stand it. He began to do it through self-importance. There was a time in which Saul was not supposed to offer a sacrifice, and yet he did anyway, and he thought it was okay. And he even used great terms. He goes, "I forced myself to do this. I forced myself to disobey." Don't you understand, Samuel? And Samuel's like, "No, I really don't. But I had good reasons." And then there was a time he was supposed to kill all of the Amalekites, and he refused to do it. And he said, oh, come on, we did it for a good reason. And Samuel said, no, you disobeyed. Saul got covetous, and Saul got stubborn, and Saul got rebellious. And Saul, who started out good, who was looking great, was a short-time warrior, and he got defeated. I can think of another young man I brought to this. He was doing really good. He was humble when I met him in my youth group. He may as well have been. He didn't have any real good reason to be proud. That sounds horrible to say, but I'm just saying. He wasn't your athletic guy. He wasn't Mr. Strong. He wasn't anything great to look at. In fact, the pastor literally said to me, you know what? They kind of want to serve God, but you know what? What you really need to do is focus on this other guy. And he picked the most athletic guy in the church and in the school, and he said, this is the guy. If you can get him turned around, he will lead the youth group. Could I just say this, pastors and youth pastors? According to the Bible, the best people to lead our youth group are not the athletic guys. They're the spiritual ones. Now, hey, that can be the same person. But don't tell me how many push-ups you can do when you can't control yourself. Don't tell me how good you can shoot, how good you can wrestle, how good you can do jiu-jitsu, how good you can do kung fu. I don't care. If you can't read your Bible and get yourself up and do that and actually love God and live for God, I'm sorry, you're not a real warrior. You can be a Navy SEAL. And praise God, we've got men fighting for our country. But I'm sorry, I know another kingdom that needs some men to fight. And they're just looking for a few godly men. And we need that. Saul was a short-time warrior. And this young man started out humble, started out doing really good. He would do anything I asked him to do. Before long, I got him involved in the bus route, and I was teaching him, and I was training him. And man, I was excited about him. And man, it was a lot of work because, I mean, he just struggled a lot. He didn't have a lot of natural talent going for him, but he would listen. And he'd do anything I asked him to do. And man, he was growing, and it was exciting. And about a senior year in high school, he started getting really proud. Man, I'd talk with him about it, and I'd plead with him about it, and I'd pray with him about it. And he'd go up and down, up and down, and up and down. Finally, he came here to Bible college. Man, I was excited. I thought, boy, if he can just do it. He had his ups and downs, seriously. Mr. Bishop was his bus captain. He was going along. Man, a couple years, he was doing good. Various things happened. But one big thing got a hold of him. His pride. And he wouldn't conquer his pride. And in his pride, he got stubborn. And in his pride, he began to think that he knew more than everybody else. And he was always trying to tell everybody else what to do. He was telling his bus captain how to run a bus route. Because in his great 19 years, he was brilliant. And he left college for some other reasons. And he was supposed to come back, but he never came back. He went to a different church my parents currently go to. Started out good, but that pride wasn't gone. And he had a couple years of Bible college under his belt. So you know what? He was an expert in the bus ministry. And that pastor who had come there and started that church from absolutely nothing, all of a sudden didn't know as much as this young man. He hasn't been in church in about 5 or 6 years. I think he won an award in preaching. He started out good, but he quit. Then there's the scared warrior. There were a lot of them in verse 24. Goliath came out, verse 24, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. These guys were fighting before this. They were in the battle. Hey, let me tell you something, teenagers. Some of you are going, hey, Pastor Paris, you're not talking about me. I'm in the battle. I'm serving in a ministry. I'm coming to church. I'm reading my Bible. I'm doing some of these really good things. And that's all great, because some of you are winning the battles that you actually want to win, and they're pretty easy. You're fighting people and you're fighting battles against things that you find yourself equal to. And I'm glad you're fighting. But Goliath is coming. Goliath's coming. And you got to fight him too. You can't just fight the battles that are easy. And every one of us has got a Goliath in our life. Listen to me. I've got Goliaths in my life. And they may not be the same battle as any one of these other pastors, but I've got battles that I got to fight. And sometimes that Goliath, even in the ministry, he rears his ugly head at me and I've got to fight him. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes I just flat don't want to do it. Sometimes I'm just tired of fighting. Now, I don't, it takes preparing me like, Pastor Paris, you never get tired of fighting. You just always were picking a fight. No, I do like a good fight, but I'm sorry. Sometimes I just get tired. Sometimes I want to quit. But that Goliath has got to be beaten. And here's the problem. Sometimes I see that Goliath and I say, man, somebody's going to fight him. Would somebody please go fight him? I'm not the only Baptist church in Poplar Bluff. But the Goliath of music and the Goliath of standards has knocked all the rest of them out of the game. So somebody needs to fight that battle. Not drawing hundreds into my church. But by God's grace, if he comes back, Ephesians 5 says he wants a holy and a blameless church. And by God's grace, I'm going to preach until I'm blue in the face and pray until I'm sweating, saying, God, let us please you. And folks, that doesn't mean that we don't reach anybody. I got news for you. The holy people are the ones who are going to reach somebody the right way, because God's going to work through us. You got to fight the Goliath, teenager. Maybe it's music for you. Maybe it's dress for you. Maybe it's friends for you. Maybe it's respect for your parents for you. Maybe it's video games. Maybe it's the internet. Maybe it's movies. Maybe it's looking at some things that you're not supposed to be looking at on the internet. Maybe it's your thoughts and nobody even knows about it. It's time to beat Goliath down. Stop running. Get in the fight. Because this is the next part. I got to get here quick. Here's the beautiful thing. You don't have to fight alone. David was the only one there. But some real warriors brought you to empowered youth. There are laymen here that took off to get you here. There are laymen here that are up here working this game. They're not getting paid so they can do stupid stuff to you. It's kind of a good payment right there. I don't know. I don't have any teens here. I left my church back there. I'm not crying or anything. I'm so excited to be here. I'm hoping I can find some way to make sure I'm here next year. I can't stand the idea of missing empowered youth. I love you teens. Aww. Serious. So who is the real warrior? Let me give you four things of a real warrior we find about David. Number one, and it's going to be real easy. It starts with an R, an E, an A, and an L. Okay? Real easy there, all right? He was responsible. Oh, wait, no, hold up. Pastor Paris, hold up. I wanted some secret good stuff to get in a fight, and you're starting with responsibility? Did you not hear Mr. Schreiber's talk this morning? Before they let him have a gun, they taught him how to use it. That's just a good idea. Did you not see the video of that guy whose hi-hat got shot off? Drill sergeant messed up on that one. You see, teens, you like to hang out with the person who's goofing off. But why not hang out with the people who can be called on by the church folks to do something, by your pastor and by your youth pastor? I don't have to go there, time to go there. I'll give you the scriptures here real quick. But when David, when David was found by Samuel in 1 Samuel 16:11, what was he doing? He was working. Now, I have no idea why all the other brothers were there, and I'm not saying that they're all lazy bums, but I'm just saying when Samuel came looking for a king, he was looking for somebody who could not be found because he was busy doing something. Why don't you put down the games long enough to do something? Now, Pastor Parrish, I'm just a teenager. What can I do? After every service, before you leave, make sure all of the toilets are flushed in your building. You want to know what one of my first jobs was as an assistant pastor? That right there. You're like, Pastor Parrish, that's kind of gross. No, coming in after it's been sitting there all week, that's what's gross. Now, I'm not trying to be inappropriate or disrespectful of the pulpit. I'm simply saying any one of you can do that. Pick up a broom, sweep the floor. Instead of walking over the trash, pick it up. Don't expect there to be a dollar bill underneath. Just pick it up. Throw it away. Well, somebody will get this. Yeah, that someone's got a name. It's yours. Just do it. And what's more, he was faithful in his responsibilities even when it was hard and dangerous. Do you want to know what got him ready for Goliath? He was watching the sheep. And a lion came up. And a bear came up. And he had a choice. I do my job when it's hard and dangerous, or I give up and leave the sheep to the lion and the bear. You know what he did? He goes, well, I don't know if I'm trained for this, but there are the sheep, there's the lion and the bear, they eat grass, they eat sheep. This ain't going to work out very good. I'm sorry, but you guys are going to have to die. PETA was not there to defend that poor lion and bear. Now, I don't know, I'm pretty impressed with a guy that kills a lion and a bear that's a youth. I mean, Saul said, who is that stripling? If he were as proud as some of you, they'd be like, stripling man, I killed a lion, a bear, what you got? But could I point out why he killed the lion and the bear? Was actually very simple. It was his job. And so he did it. And you guys wimp out on sweeping the whole floor. Or completely making your bed. Or you say, Mom and Dad, could you get me one of those really big covers? I get really cold. But it drapes down all the way to the floor and you can just lift that up and whoop, room clean. Ha ha, yes. Hopefully you're past that, but I did that when I was a lot younger. I hate to admit that. No. Just be responsible. Do the job you've been given to do. You say, but Pastor Parrish, sometimes I have two responsibilities at the same time. The adults are asking way too much of me. You know what? David had that problem too. He had a job of watching the sheep, and then Dad said, take some food to your brothers. Sheep are there, brothers are there. This ain't gonna work. So he had an epiphany. Eureka. I'll get somebody to do that job. He didn't say, Dad, would you get somebody to go watch the sheep? The Bible says he found a keeper. And you're not going to like the next part. And then he got up early. And he left to do his job. 2 minutes. No wonder none of you guys took me up on that. Secondly, he was engaged. You girls are like, yes, really? No. Not talking ring on finger. Now just get your mind away from all that wedding stuff. Forget it. See, what do you mean by engaged? You see, all the other people were looking at Goliath and how big he was. And tell him I said hello. Tell him you're engaged. If you're single, just don't do that. That's not a good idea. Where was I? And everybody else is going, Goliath is so big. Big Goliath, big Goliath, big Goliath. And David said, did you hear what he said? He made fun of God. That's not happening. You see, some of you teenagers, you get there in the locker room or you get there with your friends and they start bashing and they start saying things that they shouldn't say and you don't say anything about them because I shouldn't stop my friend. No! Be David, get engaged and say, hey, what'd you just say? If you just said what I think you just said, we're going to go talk to, are you going to go tell the pastor or am I? Or you want us to do it together? Well, okay, I'll tell him sometime. Good. When? Let's go see if he's busy. I think my dad's got his number. Let's give him a call. He said, Pastor Parrish, if I did that, nobody would talk to me about those things. Not seeing a problem here. All that means is the showy warriors are over here and you just stepped up to David territory. Amen. So do it already. Because I got news for you. You do that. When David killed Goliath, what happened? What happened? You're like, well, Goliath was dead. Right, I know. But what happened after that? All the other soldiers got up and started fighting. You know, sometimes in a youth group, all it takes is one of you to just stand up and fight. Get out of the club. Be a man. Because I'm sorry. If you got to hang out in the club, you're not a man. If you got to have the approval of everybody else, guys, you ain't a man. You say, I'll bench press against you. I don't really care. You're not a man. You're a wimp. Winning friends and influencing people. When everybody else was afraid, David was willing to fight. Why? Look at verse 45 and 46. I got to get done. Verse 45 and 46. Why did David really go fight? Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. He knew what he was going against. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. Now get this phrase, whom thou hast defied. And this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day and to the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth. Why? That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Here was a young man who did not fight Goliath for fame. He did not fight Goliath for a big name. He fought Goliath because Goliath opposed God and somebody needed to do it. And that's all he cared about. He didn't talk about his size. He didn't talk about his strength. He didn't talk about the fact that everybody else was running from him. He didn't talk about anything else except there's just one problem I have with you, Goliath. If you'd clear this up, I wouldn't kill you. But you know what? You're making fun of God, and I have had enough of that. You want to know why this world is, why our society has gotten so wicked? Because Christians are cowering back in their barracks and they will not get out of boot camp and get in the fight. Because we're afraid of offending somebody. We're afraid of standing up and just saying something about, well, you know what? I'm a Christian because that's the best thing in the world I could ever be. And I believe this is right because God said so. And I don't care what Dr. So-and-so said. And I don't care what my friends say. I don't care about anything else. What is right is what God says. Amen. And you say, well, wait a minute. You know, we have to reason with them. No, we need to start telling people the truth. Amen. Help us. Come on. And teens, if you will start as a teenager telling the truth, let me tell you something. It will be hard as a teenager if the other teenagers don't want to do it. Okay, that's true. When I was a teenager, I had zero friends. And some of you teens, I told you about it. I can remember a couple times when I should have stood up and I backed down. I regret that to this day. I can picture where I was at on the bus. I remember what they looked like. I remember what they did. And I just said, I want to be popular. I want to have friends. And I back down. And I wonder if those friends would have made different decisions with their life if I would have just said something right there. And the rest of my life, I'm going to be left with wondering that. So along the way, I spoke up sometimes. And I didn't have any friends. But I got lots of them now. And I came to Bible college, and all of a sudden I got a lot of friends. And they're your pastors and youth pastors. He was real. I'm sorry, he was something. Responsible. He was engaged. Letter A. He was attacking. Some of you are sitting back and saying, well, if Goliath attacks me, I'm going to fight. No, just go kill him. That's not a sound bite you want heard. Just go fight. Go attack Goliath. David didn't sit around waiting for it. And by the way, I got to say this real quick. He stuck with the proven methods. Verses 38 through 40, Saul tried to give him something else. And teens, could I say this? Some of you have decided that you're going to fight for God, but you're going to do it your own way. Let the old-fashioned guys look like old-fashioned guys, but you know what? I can still be strong fundamentalist and live for God and wear my skinny jeans. I'm not even going to preach on that here. I'm going to ask you one question. Just one question. Why do you need to wear them? You answer that question honestly for me, and I don't have to preach on it. Because you know why. Because you're getting showy. And you're getting short time. And you're getting scared. Instead of just getting in there and fighting. Folks, there's only one way to attack Goliath. Your proven stone and sling. Get in the Bible and fight. And stick to the old ways that God has laid out in the past. You don't have to look new. You don't have to look cute. You don't have to talk the lingo and all the things that Brother Fryman already hit this morning. Just do right. And letter L, he was loving. You're like, whoa, 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 Pastor Parrish, we're talking about a warrior. And you're talking about loving. Well, the best kind of soldiers are the ones who go to war because they love their country. And what God said about David in two different places, Acts 13:22 and 1 Samuel 13:14 was this: he is a man after mine own heart. Stop trying to win the affections of your friends. Stop trying to win the affections of the world around you. You will never win their affection. You will only win their approval until they change what they approve of. And then it'll be gone, and the famine will come, and you're going to be sitting with the pigs, looking at the pig slop, and saying, man, that looks good. Because you're going to take and take and take from your pastor and youth pastor, and you're going out and you're going to spend all of that and throw it away and live the party life, and one day you will find yourself alone where no man will give unto you. And you're going to be saying, what happened to me? Now when I stand up here and I look out here, I see some other teenagers that don't look like teenagers to you. Some of them rode on a bus with me to Empowered Youth. Some I judged in preaching at Empowered Youth. And now they're pastors and youth workers in their churches, and they're serving God. Say, who do I look up to? Them. All around you tonight, you've got some real warriors. They're responsible, they're engaged, they're attacking, and they love the Lord. That's who you want to follow. Now look at those names again. Look at them. Not me. Look at your names. First one's you. You don't have to write it down. You can if you want to. Real warrior or fake warrior? The adult you get along with, like or admire. Now, let me just be real clear. I'm not trying you to get you to dislike an adult. But sometimes there are adults who unwisely try to be the cool adult in your church. And I'm not attacking them. Youth pastors, pastors, please understand me. But I'm just saying, you like them because you think they approve of you however you want to be. And by the way, you're probably wrong. But I'm just saying, you likely put down the person who rags on you the most because they're trying to get you to do what's right. As I stand here, my heart breaks because I happen to know that there are teens here from Fairhaven who still don't like me. I've been gone for 11 months, and whether you like it or not, I still pray for you. I'm not your youth pastor anymore. I get that. I don't have any right to ask anything of you or even preach to you. But you can't stop me from praying for you. But you don't like me because I didn't let you by with being an idiot. And I called you on it, and you don't like it. And quite frankly, you don't like Pastor Dameron for all the same reasons. Although he's much sweeter and nicer than I am. And you have problems with your parents for the same reasons, and you can't wait to get out of the house. And some of you keep that hidden real well. The day's coming and you're leaving because you're showy and you're a short timer or you're scared. Look at that teenage name. Do you admire that teenager because they love God and they want to serve God and they help you be a better Christian? Those are the principles that you should use to choose your friends. But if you like them because you get along with them and you know that if you do something that just pushes the edge a little bit, they're not going to tell on you. They're a lousy friend and you just need to get rid of them. And you just talk to them and you say, hey, look, I'm sorry. I like you. We're good friends, but you're not good for me and I'm not good for you. So we need to part ways until we get strong enough to be good for each other. You say, Pastor, that's hard. Sure it is. Goliath, so kill him. Let's all stand, heads bowed and our eyes are closed.